This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه ده السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the class of fiqh. Today inshallah we will discuss the book of ritual purification, the book of tahara. And we say the book of ritual purification because tahara in Arabic, it includes two things, physical and ritual purification. And I asked you about the definition of tahara. Linguistically, we know that tahara is cleanliness, but in the religious term, what do we mean by tahara? This was your homework, and you were supposed to turn in your homework, and I looked at your answers. Many of them are good, but still, we need to have one definite answer that this is the definition of tahara religiously. Scholars say raf'u hadath aw izalatu khabath. This is very easy definition. Raf'u hadath aw izalatu khabath. But when you translate this to English, you need to mention what is hadath or khabath. Because tahara, when we talk about tahara, it's not something tangible. It's not something that you see. You cannot see two people and you say this is he has wudu and this one he doesn't have wudu. You cannot see it. It is something ritual that you do. So it is not something physical that you see and upon that you will judge he has tahara or he doesn't have tahara. Therefore, it is a little bit difficult to define the tahara religiously. But you could say anything, tahara means allowing you to perform the types of ibadat that the purification is required for them. And you could give the example like prayer, tawaf, and so on. Now, if you don't have tahara, you cannot pray. If you don't have tahara, you cannot pray. You cannot have tawaf around the Kaaba. So you could say an action by which you will be allowed to perform the ibadat. That purification is a condition for them. This is just a definition. Or you could say, as some of you, like Bazigh and others, they said, the removal of hadath and the removal of hadath and the lifting of the khabath. Rafu hadath wa izalatu khabath. Or lifting of hadath and removal of khabath. But again, the problem here, you need to mention what is hadath and what is khabath. Hadath, you could say, the ritual impurity, and khabath, the physical impurity. And this will be acceptable. Now it will be acceptable when you say the lifting of the ritual impurity and the removal of the physical impurity. And now you have a good definition for the tahara. This is one of them. The other one, an act by which you will be allowed to perform the ibadah. That purification is conditioned for it. Because there are some types of ibadah, tahara is not a condition for it. So you have to be accurate once you mention the definition. So that was your homework. That was the definition of tahara. Now we will start by the types of water. Now in order to perform tahara, we need to know how do you perform. That's why scholars start with the types of water. Because the water is the substance that you use to become tahir, physically and ritually. How many types of water do we have or can we use? Which types of water? River. One type? Ocean. What else? Standing. Standing what? Lake, maybe and maybe not. Again, you see, that's the importance of learning the structured knowledge. Once you know the number, again, try always to remember the numbers. Once you know that there are 5 types of water, or 6 types, or 7 types, then you will remember that they are 7. What are they? And you start listing them. In the Shafi'i school of thought, they listed them. They said, 7 types. We have 7 types. لها مياه سبعة وهي المطر والماء من بحر وبئر ونهر كذاك من عين وثلج وبرد. So it is seven types. We have seven types. What are they? Here they are. The rain. Can you, if you have like a bucket and the rain is coming in this bucket, can you use this water? Why? What's the evidence? You need to know the evidence. Why? Some people would say there are acids in this rain. Maybe it's not pure. Well, Allah said it is pure. مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُرًا. We sent down from heaven purifying water. So Allah testified that it is purifying water. So this is an evidence that it is purifying water. So the first one is rain. The second one is the sea. Sea includes oceans. Do you have an evidence? Actually, do we need evidence to use the seawater? In principle, you are allowed to use anything unless there is an evidence that it is not permissible. But we have an evidence for the sea. The companions asked the Prophet ﷺ about eating from the dead animals in the sea. He answered, هُوَ الطَّهُورُ مَاءُهُ الْحِلُّ مَيْتَتُهُ. The dead of the sea, like the fish, it is permissible and its water is purifying. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked about the sea, he said, هُوَ الطَّهُورُ مَاءُهُ الْحِلُّ مَيْتَتُهُ. So this is an evidence that the water of the sea is purifying. So this is the second thing. The third thing is the well. What's the evidence? The Prophet ﷺ also was asked about, أَنَتَوَضَّأُ مِنْ بِئْرِ بُضَاعَ. Can we perform water from the well of Buda'a? It was in Medina. And he said yes. The river. It is the same as the well as the sea. Or the stream. Smaller than the river. What about the sixth one? Snow. Can you perform wudu from the snow? Can you or can't you? Why you can? What's the snow? It is like the rain, right? If it was melted, what it will become what?
Water.
So, it is permissible. What is the thing between the rain and the snow?
It's frozen water.
No. It comes from the sky. Hail. So if you wanted the details, all the types, you could say they are seven. In brief, how many types do we have? Two types. Anything comes from heaven or gushes from the earth. Gushes forth from the earth. كل ماء نزل من السماء أو نبع من الأرض فهو طاهر. Whether you say anything, any water comes from the sky or gushes forth from the earth, or you say it is seven types. You could use all of them. Now, we move forward to the categories of water. What types of water that we can use, or what are the divisions that we can use to... Now we said the water of the rain, the water of the well, the water of the stream, and so on. But what types of these water can we use? Any type? What about the tea? Coffee? The water that was already used, can I use them or not? In the Shafi'i school of thought, we have water divided to four categories. We have four categories. So now again, how many types of water do we have?
Seven.
How many categories of water?
Four.
Always remember the names. That will help you. First type or first division, the category, الماء الطهور. طهور means purifying. It is pure by itself and it is also purifying. What do we mean by that? We mean by that if you use this water, it will make you pure. And it is by itself pure. So if you used it, it will not cause any impurity. That's what we mean by tahur. The second category, tahir. It is pure, but it is not purifying. What do we mean by that? The water that even if you used it, it will not be sufficient for you to perform wudu. Do you have examples for this type? Could you tell me any example of water? Yes. Coke. Yeah, according to the Shafi'i school of thought, this, the coke, the coffee, the tea, anything that originally was water but then changed by another pure thing, which removed the name or the original state of that water. Originally it was pure, purifying water. Now it is not water anymore. In the Shafi'i school of thought, this is a correct example. Some other scholars said it is not water anymore. It is a liquid, but it's not water. So they take it out. That's why some other schools of thought, they don't have four categories. Only in the Shafi'i school of thought, we have four categories. Again, the objective here is to know what are these categories. That does not mean necessarily everything here is correct. But that's how you start, inshallah, with the fiqh. So the second type is tahir. Now, if you use tea, iced tea, it is nice, right? You wanted to use it for wudu. Can you use it? Can you use it? Can you use it?
No.
Why?
Same thing.
What's the thing?
You just said, I mean, it's
why can't we use the tea? Why can't we use the tea? Now remember the hadith when the companions asked the Prophet ﷺ about the sea. They knew that the water is divided to two types. It's not one type. Because they knew that there is type of water that they cannot use. And they suspected that the sea is of this type. But the Prophet ﷺ told them, it is purifying water. Why they asked him? Because the sea usually, it has salt. It's not sweet like the regular water. So they thought that the salt of the sea will affect the water. But the Prophet ﷺ told them, no. That means other things, when they are changed by water, and we have this in the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, الْمَاءُ طَهُورٌ. The water is purifying. Nothing will make it impure, except إِلَّا مَا غَلَبَ عَلَى لَوْنِهِ أَوْ طَعْمِهِ أَوْ رِيحِهِ. If it changes the color, the smell, or the taste, then it becomes not purifying. In this hadith, we know that we cannot use the tea, or coffee, or coke, or any other liquid which was originally water, or water is used in it. Why? Because there is a smell, or there is a taste, or there is a color. You cannot use it. The third type, tahur makruh. Purifying, but it's not recommended. And again, this is only in the Shafi'i school of thought. This is very close to the first type. Let's say you have water. Original water, which is purifying, but it was in a container, like a copper or any other metal, and it was heated in a hot environment, like here in Houston, or south in Mexico, in other states. So what's the ruling? Can you use this water? In the Shafi'i school of thought, they say, yes, you can, but it's not recommended. It is disliked. Why? They say it causes leprosy, or it causes some diseases. That's why it's not recommended. Other scholars said no. So, this is the third type. طَاهِرٌ مُطَاهِرٌ مَكْرُوهٌ. It is purifying, but it's not recommended. It's disliked to use it. This is the third type. The last category we have for water, the najis. What's the example for this category? Any water that was mixed with najasa. that was mixed with najasa. But here is the thing. What about the sea? If there is najasa was put in it, a baby urinated in the sea, does that make the sea impure? So what's the limit? What's the fine line between purifying and najis? Again, in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, anything that changes its color, its taste, or its smell. In the Shafi'i school of thought, they say, any najasa falls in the water if it's less than 2 large pots, which is approximately 50 gallons. 50 gallons. Why they said 50 gallons? Because there is a hadith. This hadith, some scholars said it is muttarib. It is not a correct hadith. Others said, no, it is a hadith. The Prophet ﷺ gave that limit. They said any najasa falls in water, be it pond, be it pool, small pool, if it is less than 50 gallons, then the water becomes najis. Even if it was one drop of anything, najis. If it is more than that, more than 50 gallons of water, a baby urinated in swimming pool, it doesn't make it najis unless the taste or the color or the smell is changed. I will repeat. How the water becomes najis? It becomes najis if it was mixed with any impure substance. Is this general? No exceptions? No, there is an exception. The water, the amount of water is divided to two types. We have less than 50 gallons and we have over 50 gallons. If it is less than 50 gallons, any impurity comes to it, any impurity, even if it's one drop, it makes it najis. You cannot use it. If it is more than 50 gallons, najasa will not affect that water unless the color is changed, the smell, or the taste. Other scholars said, we don't have this 50 gallon thing. As long as the water is not changed, it is pure. As long as the water is changed, even if it is 200 gallons, it becomes impure. Is this clear? So now we know what types of water we can use. What about the water of the sink? If you noticed a smell in it, what do you think? Can you use it? What about the rain, if it came? The rain came and it was too much rain, so there was a flood. And the water of that flood, the rain of that flood, is not the same color because the flood takes with it what? Some dirt and some leaves of trees and so on. So what do you think? Can you use the water of the flood or you cannot? Well, even the color, now some scholars said even the color and the taste. Now what about the seawater? Doesn't it have different taste? It does. But they say it is impossible to avoid this. So once it is impossible or very difficult, even the water of the sink, sometimes you open the sink and the water has some color in it. Why? Because of the pipes. And they say it's almost impossible to avoid this. In this situation, it becomes permissible. So the slight change that cannot be avoided is forgiven. It's not honored. It's you ignore it. The same thing with the flood. They say these substances, these things like the dirt, they are not impure. And remember, the flood is running. So as long as it's running, then it is permissible. Unless, of course, the flood, the color becomes like brown, and you know, it's not flood anymore, it is more like dirt, or there are lots of impurities in it, then it becomes impure. But in general, the slight redness that you may see in the water because of the pipes, or some taste sometimes because of the substances. Even the swimming pool. Now you have big swimming pool, but they put some purifying things, some cleaning materials in it, chloride and other stuff. If it was very strong, then you cannot use it. But if it's slight, then you can use it. So this is a rule. Why you can use it? Because it's almost impossible to avoid it. You cannot avoid it. So these are the categories of water. We have four categories of water. What types you can use? The first one, which is the original water. The water that was not changed. Neither its color, nor its taste, nor its smell. Now, we are moving to the first chapter, which is the wudu. We're moving to the chapter of wudu. What's the meaning of wudu? What's the definition of wudu? Linguistically and in the religious term. What's the definition of wudu? Someone saw you doing, putting some water on your arm, on your face. So he asked you, what are you doing? You told him, I'm doing wudu. He asked you, what is wudu? So what do you tell him?
Something will get you ready for the salah.
Tayammum also, something will get me ready for the salah. Ightisal, something will get me ready for the salah. See, you have to be accurate. Yes.
Sister Atiya says linguistically it means ablution.
Linguistically means ablution. What's the meaning of ablution?
And Sister Yuki said it is a process by which we become physically pure for salah.
A process by which we will become physically pure? That's incorrect. That's incorrect. Cleansing for prayer. Cleansing, again, it includes ghusl. You need to know only wudu. Now, wudu, with fatha wa, wudu, like W-A, wudu, it is the thing that you use for your wudu. And in the hadith, وَضَعْتُ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَضُوءَهُ. I prepared for the Prophet ﷺ the water that he will use for wudu. Wudu, no matter how much you try, it will be very difficult to define it. But there is very nice short definition for wudu. غسل أعضاء مخصوصة بصفة مخصوصة. Washing specific parts of the body in a specific way. That's the wudu. Anyway you try another definition, it will not be correct. Because if you say washing the body, this includes ghusl. If you say preparing yourself for the prayer, this includes wudu and includes other things. So you say washing parts of the body, because in wudu you don't have to wash everything, washing specific parts in a specific way. What do we mean by specific way? According to the religion, how it came in the religion. So that's the definition, the religious definition of wudu. Remember the question I asked you about the pillars of wudu? We will discuss it now. But before it, we always try to mention the reward that you will get when you do something. Now, do not think of the obligation that I have to do it. That's why I'm doing it. Why you do wudu? Well, because we cannot pray without wudu. That's correct. But what you will get. In fiqh, usually they don't discuss it, but we have to know it. You may be asked to give 5 minutes talk about the virtues of wudu. What can you say? What you will get if you perform wudu? What do you will get? Why do you perform wudu?
Wash specific part of body.
What you will get if you wash specific body, part of your body? Exactly. I will recognize my ummah. So it is like a brand for the Muslims on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet ﷺ will know us, will know his followers by washing.
Looking at our
yes, it will be shining. This is another thing. So you'll get two things. It will be shining. It is light for you. Wudu is light for you. Isn't it physical cleanliness? You are physically clean when you wash your face, when you wash your hands. Muslims are accused that they are not clean. Actually, your feet are more clean than the face of the surgeon, the face of the highest person who is non-Muslim. Because no one on earth washes his face 15 times a day. No one. You wash your feet 15 times a day at least. Not at least, but average. So your foot is cleaner than the faces of many people. Did you think of that? We are clean, alhamdulillah. This is another thing. What else? You raised your hand, I had an answer. Yeah, go ahead. Untying the knots in the morning. That's correct. The Prophet ﷺ said, يَعْقِدُ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَى نَصِيَةِ أَحَدِكُمْ ثَلَاثَ عُقَدْ. He will tie, shaitan will tie three knots on the neck, on your neck when you sleep, saying you have long night, so sleep. When you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you wake up and you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one knot will be untied. If you perform wudu, another knot will be untied. Related to this, it will remove the anger from you. The Prophet ﷺ once saw a man and he was very angry. He said, I know something, if he did, he will not become angry to perform wudu. What else? What you will get by performing? Yes. Sins will be forgiven. Very good. Do you have an evidence for that? Sins will be forgiven? Okay, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَن تَوَضَّعَ فَأَحْسَنَ وُضُوءَهُ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. If you only perform wudu perfectly, all your sins will be forgiven. All your sins. Isn't that a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All your sins will be forgiven. So there are lots of virtues for wudu. It forgives all your sins. It is a sign for the believer on the Day of Judgment. It will be light. It is a brand for us also. We will be known as. And it will be your pass, free pass to paradise. Do you know any hadith supports this point? It will be your free pass to paradise. Yes. Yes, that's correct. That's correct. Whoever performs wudu and says the dua after wudu, he will enter the Jannah from any of the eight gates. The Prophet ﷺ saw one of the companions in the Jannah. Who was it? Mm-hmm. Abu Huraira? No.
Bilal.
He did not see him actually, but what he heard his footsteps. Why? When he asked him, Bilal said, every time I lose my wudu, I perform wudu. And then I perform two rak'ah. Actually, whoever keeps his wudu, whoever maintains his wudu is a believer. It's a testimony for you as a believer. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. لَن يُحَافِظَ عَلَى وُضُوءِهِ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنٍ. This is an authentic hadith. Once you lose your wudu and you renew your wudu, you are always in the state of wudu, you are a believer. This is a testimony from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَن يُحَافِظَ عَلَى وُضُوهِ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنٍ. By only keeping your wudu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam testifies that you are a believer. Okay, now we will move to the pillars of wudu. The pillars of wudu means the obligatory things that your wudu will be incorrect if you did not do them. How many pillars of wudu do we have? How many pillars of wudu do we have? How many things that you should do? And if you don't, your wudu is incorrect. Four. What are they?
Bismillah.
Bismillah. So if you did not say Bismillah, your wudu is incorrect. What else?
Washing the hands.
Face. This is three.
Head,
Head, four.
Arms also.
Arms, five. Feet, six. Yeah. What if you wash your face?
In order.
In order, seven. So, what do you think? You change your opinion several times. See? That's what will happen when you don't have accuracy. When you know that they are five, they are four, they are seven, you know they are seven, and you start looking, what are they exactly? Remember always the numbers. The required acts of the wudu are six. Six things. Remember this number always, six. We have seven types of water. We have the water divided to four categories, and now we have six pillars of wudu. Remember the numbers. The first pillar is having the intention. Okay? What do we mean by that? We mean by that if someone came and randomly he washed his hands, his face, then his arm to the elbow, then he wiped over his head, then he washed his feet, and then he left. And he was told that it's time for prayer, and he remembered, oh, I did the acts of prayer of wudu now, so that's enough for me. It is not sufficient. You have to have the intention. According to the Shafi'i school of thought, you have to have the intention. Why? What's the evidence? What's the evidence? We need to learn the evidences. Exactly. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَادِ The actions by their intentions. So if you don't have your intention, then your action will not be counted. So you have to have the intention. Always, in the Shafi'i school of thought, they are very strict about the issue of intentions. So you have to have the intention. This is the first pillar. And the evidence, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. So if you wash your entire body, not only the acts of, but you did not have the intention, it's not sufficient. You have to have the intention. Number two, washing the face. You have to wash your face. What constitutes face? What is the face?
From forehead to?
From forehead to?
Beard.
So we tell the sisters you have to grow beard. We are talking about face. Face includes men and women. Yes? Nose and mouth? No, we want now this. We're talking about the face. What defines the face? Yes?
What you can see from the front.
What you can see from the front. I can see the ears from the front. It's called face because that's what you face. That's true. But what is it? Because I can see now his ears. Are the ears included in the face?
I think it's nose, eyes, cheeks, forehead and chin.
Nose, eyes. What about the mouth? You see, you need to know. Yes, what do we have?
Basica says forehead to chin, ear to ear.
From forehead to chin. Ear to ear. That's correct. That's the correct definition. From forehead. If you say from the hair, that's incorrect. Because what if someone is bald? Right? So it is from the forehead. From the place where the hair grows originally. That includes the one who is bald. To the chin. Here. That's the face. From ear to ear. You see this thing here? This is the beginning of the ear. From ear to ear. That's the face. That's what you wash. Washing the face. Now, Zakir said the mouth and the nose, right? No, actually this is wrong. It is not a pillar of wudu. In the Shafi'i school of thought, you don't have to wash your mouth and your nose. If you did, it's okay, but you don't have to. Number three, washing the hands and arms to the elbows. To the elbows. Washing the hands and the arms to the elbows. Now we have the intention. We have washing the face, we have washing the hands and arms to the elbows. Are the elbows included or not? The elbow.
Yes.
It's included? Why?
Yes.
Why? Well, first of all, why we have to wash the face? Why do we have to wash the face? And the arm to the elbow. Why? Something you do 5 times a day, average. You don't know what's the evidence for it? Just because people are doing it, you do it? Yes. In Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah. Surah Al-Ma'idah is a very long surah.
The ayah.
The ayah. What's the ayah?
Verse 6.
Ayah number 6. That's correct. What does it say? That's correct. Ayah number 6 says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, all you who believe, إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. When you intend to pray, then wash وُجُوهَكُمْ. Wash your faces. This is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ. And your hands, إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ. To the elbows. Now in the Quran, it says to the elbows. What makes the elbows included? Some scholars said it is not included because this is now a linguistic issue. When you say from here to here, from here to there, there is included or not? Sometimes it is included and sometimes it is not. Here in the ayah they said it is included because that's what the ayah says, as long as it's possible in language, and that's what the Prophet ﷺ said, so it is included. If it's part of the thing, you cannot separate it, then it has to be included. But once you say from here to there, and there is something else, you have a car and you're going from here to there, it's not necessarily that you enter that place. You arrived there, but you did not enter because the car is separated from the city itself. While here, it's one arm, one thing. So the elbow should be included. So washing the hands and arms to the elbows. Again, why do we have to wash our arm? Arm includes the hand, the wrist, and the arm to the elbow. Why? Because of the ayah. Allah commanded us in the Quran, Ya أيها الذين آمنوا إذا قمتم إلى الصلاة فاغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق. Wiping part of the head with wet hands. Wiping part. Now here's the thing. We said already washing the face, washing the hand with the arm. Now we said wiping. What's the difference between wiping and washing?
Because you're using a handful of water for your face.
Hmm? What's that's the meaning of washing and wiping?
Well,
yes.
Sister Athi says, with wiping you don't make it completely wet.
With wiping you don't make it completely wet.
Yeah, with washing it's completely moistened.
It's completely what?
Moistened.
Moist. Okay. In Arabic they say al-ghasl imrar al-ma ala al-shay. To pass the water on the thing. That's the washing. Wiping, to pass on the thing. To rub on the thing. That's why we said wiping with wet hands. Because wipe itself, this is wiping. When I do this, this is wiping. But that's not what we want. We want wiping with wet hand. So wiping is lesser than washing. When you wash means the water is coming directly. Passing the water over the thing. But wiping, passing the thing itself. That's the difference between washing and wiping. So in the face, it's not sufficient to wipe with wet hand. Like you have the water, then you drop the water. Your hand is what? Is wet. Your hand is wet. It's not enough to do it. It has to have water. That's what we call washing. Now, notice here, wiping, if you say wiping the head, I will not accept it. What does it say? Wiping part of the head. What does that tell you? Wiping part of the head. That means it doesn't have to be the entire head. Why? Why? Allah says in the Quran, وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ. And wipe part of your head. B, the letter, this letter B, وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ. Scholars differed. According to the Shafi'i school of thought, they say bi tab'idiyya, means it includes part of the thing. If it was the entire thing, Allah would say wamsahu ru'usakum, wipe your heads. Why would Allah say wamsahu bi ru'usikum? If it was the entire head. The entire head, Allah would say wamsahu ru'usakum, wipe your head. But he said wamsahu bi ru'usikum. So according to the Shafi'i school of thought, bi constitutes part of the thing, it's not the entire thing. So wiping part of the head with wet hands, that's the masah. This is number four. Number five, washing the feet to the ankles. Washing the feet to the ankles. What's the evidence? The same ayah, exactly. All these things, washing the face, washing the hands with the arms to the elbow, wiping part of the head with wet hands, and washing the feet to the ankles, they are all in the same ayah. The ayah of Surah Al-Ma'idah. So now we have how many things? Five. What's number six? Performing these acts in the order indicated. In the order indicated. So, if you started by washing your hand with the arm to the elbow, wiping your head, and then washing your face, is your wudu correct? Yes or no? Is your wudu correct or no? No. Why? You did not do them. What makes the correct order a pillar? Why do I have to do them?
The way the Quran mentions.
The way the Quran mentions, exactly. The ayah itself mentions that order. But that itself does not make it pillar. But the nature of the Quran, you learn from the ayah. Look what Allah said in the Quran. All you who believe, wash your faces. When you intend to perform prayer, wash your faces and your hands with the arms to the elbows. Wipe your head, part of your head. And then what Allah says? And your feet to the ankles. Now, and your feet to the ankles, it's not a continuation to the wiping. It's continuation to what? To the washing. So why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala separate between the three things that we wash with one thing that we wipe? Why wouldn't Allah say, wash your faces, your hands with arms, your feet, and wipe your head? That was easier. Allah said, wash your hand, wash your face, wash your hand with the arm to the elbow, wipe your head, and then Allah said, wash your feet to the ankle. That means there is order. It has to be in this order. So the ayah itself, the ayah indicates the order. We learn this from the ayah. Now, what makes other things not included in the pillars? Like we had Zakir, he said, rinsing the mouth, washing the mouth, and rinsing, flushing the nose. Why it's not a pillar? What makes only these things pillars? Now, Allah mentioned these in the Quran. We say these are pillars, that's true. But that does not mean nothing else is a pillar. What makes only these things are pillars? Yes. Fatima sunnah. No, actually a sunnah, what do you mean by a sunnah, Fatima? Could you give me an example? Because from the sunnah, we notice that the Prophet ﷺ, he performed the wudu completely. He starts with his hands, with his mouth, then his nose, then his face, then his arms, then his head, then his ears. The ears are not mentioned here. So what makes these things the only pillars? This is important. You should know it. A man came to the Messenger ﷺ and he asked him, how do I perform wudu? What did the Prophet ﷺ tell him? He told him, perform wudu as Allah commanded you. So the Prophet ﷺ referred him to the ayah. That makes only these things pillars. Because what do we have in the ayah? We have only these things. If there are other things, pillars, the Prophet ﷺ would not tell him, perform wudu as Allah commanded you. Allah did not mention the basmala. Now you early mentioned al-basmala, right? In the Shafi'i school of thought, al-basmala is not pillar. Actually, the majority of scholars, only Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, he said basmala is pillar when you remember it. Other schools of thought, they said it's not a pillar. So this hadith was authenticated by Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah. He mentioned it in Fath al-Bari by Imam al-Nawawi. It is in the Sunan, Abi Dawud, Tirmidhi, and others. And it is authentic hadith. So that makes the things that are mentioned in the ayah the only pillars. Is this clear? We have only six pillars in wudu. Any other pillar? No. Now, you have to memorize it this way. We have six pillars. What are they? And what are the evidences? Okay. I will ask you this question. Someone started performing wudu. What's the first thing he should do? As a pillar. Intention, that's correct. Raise your voice. After the intention, as a pillar, what do you do? Face. After the face.
Hands and arms.
Okay, that's the thing. Someone intended, he started, he washed his face. He washed his face only once. Only once. Is his wudu correct? Yes or no? Yes? Why? Prophet allowed one time. That's not what I was looking for. Does it say in the pillars it has to be three? No. So you always, once someone asks you, go back to the pillars. Is it one of the pillars? No. So it's not a pillar. Someone, after washing the face, he started with the left. And then he moved to the right. He washed his left foot, then his right foot. Is this correct? Or is it acceptable in wudu? Is his wudu will still be acceptable? Yes or no? I need answers. If you say yes, why? If you say no, why? Online, I need all of them give me the answer. What? It's not acceptable? Why? What? I need answers. Come on. Yes? Why? It doesn't say you have to go with the right foot. So it is not a pillar. Now that does not mean it's good to do it, but it's not a pillar. Which means if you mistakenly did the left, or even on purpose for a reason, it's still, your wudu is accepted. And actually, there is a narration by Ali radiallahu anhu. He said, I don't care whether I start with my right or with my left. Now, I'm not telling you it's good to do it. I'm just mentioning to you the verdict. The Prophet ﷺ, his sunnah is to start with the right side, always. Aisha radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet ﷺ liked to start with his right hand once he puts on his slippers, once he combs his hair, and in everything. So it is the sunnah to start with the right hand, but it's not a pillar. Why? It's not mentioned. We have only six pillars. Okay, we will stop here, inshallah. And this is the end of our session. Hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala sahbihi ajma'in.